Going on, everybody. This is Lick. I'm here with Hubbard and Penguin, bringing you NDL game day on Saturday afternoon. A little bit different than our morning game day shows. I actually really enjoy it because we've got some college football that has already been played. I'm able to attend some of my kids' stuff. How are you doing today, Penguin? Probably a lot better today than you were last week, mentally or physically, I should say, not mentally. Did we lose him?
You got us, Penguin? You there?
He's just frozen, staring at us.
Well, maybe he's not better physically.
Yeah, Penguin, we're talking to you. I can see his eyes move.
That's actually funny.
I think he mentally fell asleep.
He was put to sleep by all the points that Florida State scored today.
Penguin, we're talking to you. I don't know why he can't hear us. We're literally all just talking.
All just having a conversation.
Yeah. So, well, we'll wait until he can hear us. Hubbard, what have you been up to today?
Man, just watching a bunch of games, man. 2 weeks in a row for Texas to play at 11 a.m., so I was up early for that. And watched game day today, which I thought was really good for the first non-Corso game day. You know, so got four games pulled up right now. I'm interested in a couple of these results. South Florida, Florida's on, and just another great day of football.
Yeah, what games did you watch this morning?
Watched the Texas game mostly. You know, watched back and forth on a few other ones. That SMU-Baylor game was pretty good as the Texas game ended. You know, that game was next and went to double overtime, I guess, before Baylor won that one. So that was fun to watch. Now, you know, Oregon-Oklahoma State was kind of the next game people were looking forward to watching. But Oklahoma State has not answered the bell well for what they thought might happen today. So just looking forward to the game tonight, man. Oklahoma-Michigan tonight would be a good one, too.
Yeah, man. Game day this morning was pretty fun. I'm sure everybody saw a second week in a row where the kicker made it, which was kind of exciting.
Oh. And McAfee's down $550,000 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, almost $1 million, counting the money he's donated to the charities and stuff. That's crazy in 2 weeks. I wonder if someone helped back him.
Well, they were talking about that today on game day, if you were watching, about how, look, it is his money. I'm sure somebody's fronting that money somewhere. Somebody's donating to that cause, you would think. I mean, McAfee, I don't know. I mean, the man makes a lot of money, I guess, but. To lose $550,000 in 2 weeks seems pretty excessive for what he's doing. I did think it was interesting today that he gave $250,000 to the, or he bumped it from $100,000 to $200,000 for the kid that made it, but only left his charitable donation at $100,000 instead of bumping it too. So maybe he's starting to feel the pain of that money a little bit.
Yeah, or he thought he was gonna win, and so he was just
Herbstreet even made a joke about it. He said, the scouting report on this kid, I did not see that one coming.
Right. Penguin, you with us now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Awesome. You. Okay. Penguin is with us. Penguin, how's your day today?
Not bad. I agonized a bit over the Iowa State-Iowa game going on. That some of that play calling there was just driving me a little nuts. But, man. It was nice to also watch Florida State have a nice, refreshing cupcake for a change, especially after the anxiety and nervousness of last week. I enjoyed that cupcake very much this afternoon.
Yeah, I thought that Oregon State, Oklahoma State, I know you hit on that, Hubbard. I thought that would be a little bit closer in the first half, at least. I thought that, you know, Oklahoma would pull away in the second, but it has not even been close. The Iowa State-Iowa game was awesome earlier. That was a good game. That was kind of a slugfest. Mm-hmm. This Baylor game is pretty good right now. It was good. That Baylor-SMU game was a good one. You know, and they got the Kentucky.
Did y'all mention Kansas and Missouri? I've seen a little bit of that. That looks like it's a fun battle.
Yeah, no, we haven't yet. Tied at half. That one's going on right now. Yeah, at halftime, yeah. Yep.
I actually stopped watching that one because Kansas scored 14 points really quick. I mean, it was 14-0 within a few minutes, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I believe it's 21-all at half now.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah, another one. I know we're talking about random stuff games here, but Ole Miss and Kentucky, you know, Ole Miss is so much better than Kentucky, you would think. Kentucky is.
They should be. Yeah.
Yeah. They, mm-hmm. they've played them so close the last few years, and it's 14-13, almost the half now. Kentucky's just down by one. So Kiffin cannot get over Kentucky. There's some voodoo there for him.
Well, and didn't Kentucky beat Ole Miss last year?
Yeah. To play them.
Yeah.
Kentucky's only conference win last year.
Yeah. And the game's close, obviously, right now. So super exciting. We'll jump over to the NDL. We could talk real college football all day, probably, as well as the NDL here. But what are some big matchups? We're about halfway through the season right now. What are some big matchups you've seen, favorite game or matchups maybe that are coming up that really catch your eye, Hubbard?
You know, I was trying to think through this list. I was thinking about some of the great finishes we've had back. Beer Cop and NTX, I think maybe week two or three, had that great finish at the end where Colorado State ended up beating Miami of Ohio. You know, honestly, though, for me, the thing has not so much been about great finishes. It's been kind of the parity. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of really good teams at the top. They're doing really well. But you look through the rest of the conference standings, and each week, we're like, okay, this team should be in the top 25. And then they end up losing before we can even release the polls. It's happened to me a couple of times. I put somebody in, they lose on a Thursday or Friday night. And so it's just been interesting to kind of see how that has happened. That you know, obviously we know the top 5, 6, 7 players, I think, maybe even the top 10. But after that, I think there's a wild race to be in the end of the top 25. And I think even the playoff race, you know, is going to be tight as we get closer. And some of that will play itself out, but it's been very interesting.
And what about you, Penguin? What are some big things that you've been looking at?
Well, I've definitely been keeping a close eye on how the group of five, you know, bid is going to go. I mean, obviously, Missouri State is well out in front of the rest of the field at the moment. But I mean, still, the rest of that schedule looks like they should go through, and they've been very impressive. But who knows what'll happen? It brings me up to we got a game we'll talk about a little bit later. Where if Missouri State were to stumble, the winner of that game might be primed to get back into it. I'm still trying to understand how Memphis isn't part of this conversation, but
well, it's a lack of games at this point, right? I mean, that's
well, kind of really... lack of games, and that the fact that they lost one of the few they played too.
Right.
That just kind of very much surprised me.
But, you know, you mentioned Missouri State, Penguin. The interesting thing about them is they're going to have to beat Middle Tennessee again. It's going to be Jose and Weasel again in that conference championship game, you would think. And how does Weasel respond to maybe what he saw in the first one? Jose beats him again, obviously, and runs the table. He's going to be the guy. But you're right. There are a couple other ones there, a good Mountain West team. Memphis, I think, could get there. And a team that we may get to this conversation later, but a team in the AAC, if you look at the rankings and kind of the coach and the way he's played, is East Carolina even could make a little run here potentially. So we'll see what it looks like. But yeah, I'm with you. The G5 races are pretty fun.
Yeah, and the one area that I've also been watching for the Power Four race there is that ACC race. You have was it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? You realistically have 8 teams at least still in that conference race at this point. It's kind of crazy to me to realize just how wide open. I mean, sure, Clemson's still sitting on top, but I mean, how many teams you have sitting there with none or one conference loss still who had looked good at this moment? There's no telling who's going to be in the ACC title game right now.
Well, and Penguin, the other thing is you mentioned those 8 that have, you know, maybe one loss or even, you know, but think about a team like Boston College or SMU or Wake Forest who still is going to have a shot to sneak in there because they're capable of beating anybody too. I think there are legitimately 10 or 11 teams in there that could win every single time they play. But, you know, that's the best race in my opinion.
Yeah, it's – I mean, shoot, Pitt, who we know their coach is a quality opponent, has had some challenges this year. I mean, who knows? They get hot. They could still make a mess even sitting at 1-2 in conference right now.
Yep.
Yeah, some you guys mentioned, I just want to bring up a couple teams. We talk about the mid-major teams, and I just want to kind of hit on a team that no one's talking about yet. Games played is an issue. We know that. But we know the coach, he's been out of town and stuff. But we know the coach has a history of success. Is Coach Metro D there at Western Michigan, okay? And the reason I bring it up is that he has the potential to run the table in the MAC, right? Which the MAC is extremely good this year. Lots of talented coaches. They're kind of spread out. It's kind of a wide open conference, but he does play Middle Tennessee State. Okay. Common opponent, right? When you're talking about Missouri. So if whatever happens, Michigan State was able to run the table, a common opponent would be Middle Tennessee State. And so how does that game fare? Does the score matter? The spread there? And so it'll be really interesting. Obviously, Hubbard, you're on his schedule there. And then also something to talk about is Missouri State. Obviously, he's humming there right now. Everyone was really hooping and hawing about his win over Missouri. And I said it on the show that that win is going to end up not being a big win. And what's happened? Missouri's sitting at 4-4 and has the potential to not win another game the rest of the year. They play Texas A&M, Mississippi State, which will probably be his only close game. And then he plays Oklahoma and Arkansas. Okay. He just lost to Vanderbilt today. Okay. The same Vanderbilt team that's 5-4, probably going to finish around 500 in the league. Okay. And so that Missouri win for Missouri State is not going to be looking that good, because I want to, we're talking about it today on the show. We're going to talk a little bit about Nevada, Boise State, really big matchup. Nevada has one loss right now. One loss comes to Air Force, probably going to finish around 500 in that conference. Okay. But what I want you to bring your eyes to is that Nevada's going to have a chance to have a ranked win on their schedule. Right now, Missouri's not going to, because Missouri State's not going to, because Missouri won't be ranked anymore. Boise State's going to flirt with that top 25, even if they lose to Nevada and win out. They have the potential to collide again in that championship game, right? Conference championship game, to where Nevada may jump Missouri State if Nevada wins out, because Nevada's going to potentially have two ranked wins coming the end of the year, right? And so it'll be exciting. Lots of football to be played. All it's going to take is a couple wins or losses here for those mid-majors. But just a couple things to keep your eye on.
You know, I'm going to wonder if – oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Bingo. Go ahead.
Okay. I just going to wonder, there's a lot to happen, but if you had, let's say, Western Michigan and Missouri State both run the table, and you got two, group of five undefeateds, and they both got those wins against Middle Tennessee State, I wonder if we're – comparing that game, or if maybe, just maybe, is there any chance that the committee puts two group of five teams in?
I think there's too many good teams at the top to do that, honestly. That you know, just from looking at it, I looked at it this week a little bit. I think it'd be tough to do that. But I think it's interesting, you know, Tim, you bring up the MAC, and let me tell you why. You mentioned Western Michigan and their potential to go undefeated, but to do that, they would have to beat, I got it pulled up here, they have to beat Eastern Michigan in the last week of the season at Eastern Michigan. They also would have to beat Chip, who they play in the next block. They also have, Western Kentucky, who has had a good win this year as well. So the thing about it is this, the MAC, even a one-loss MAC team, is that more impressive than an undefeated Missouri State team? Because other than Missouri State and Middle Tennessee, you look at the rest of the teams in Conference USA, and it's like there's a lot of not good records and a lot of not, you know, I don't know. I think the MAC, as Tim mentioned, is very good at the top with those three, four teams, Eastern Michigan, Akron, Western Michigan, and still you got to consider Chip in there. I think maybe even a one-loss MAC team can get in.
And so I'll let you talk here, Penguin. I just wanted to bring up, too, is that I meant to say this, is if you were to rank the mid-major conferences right now, there's no way that you wouldn't put the Conference USA at the bottom. If you just look at their records right now, right? They have the potential. Like, if you were just to take a look at that schedule, is that Missouri State may be the only team in that conference that finishes above 500. And that's not going to bode well when that committee... Yeah, when the committee is sitting down saying, hey, yeah, you know, here's your resume, and his only win on paper is going to be that Missouri game, potentially, when Missouri's going to be sitting with four wins, and those wins all came, I think he has one or two conference wins probably by the season's end, to whereas you look at a conference like the MAC, you look at a conference like the AAC, you look at even the Sun Belt, they have the potential to have several 9 to 10 win teams in the conference. And so that's going to really help with that strength of scheduling for when the committee does turn around and look to see if a mid-major does belong in the college football playoff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, what you're saying makes a lot of sense. It's really rough for Missouri State in that scenario then, because, I mean, you played an SEC team out of conference. I mean, there's not much more you could have asked for them to do. And I mean, I don't know Jose, but I mean, if he's capable of a rather sinister villain arc, this is, you know, to go undefeated and get left out. I gotta believe that can change a man.
That's Mike Norvell.
But it always plays itself out. It always plays itself out, though. Every season we've sat here and speculated all the way to the end, and normally it plays itself out. You have those teams at the top of the Power Four that end up losing, right? They get three or four losses, and we've said it time and time again. You know, at some point, a four-loss team has to be left out because you can't win a big game, let someone else try. And so lots of football. There's a couple other games I just want to touch base on here that I'm looking forward to. Big matchup with MGR and Coach Texanol there with USC Nebraska. I think that has the potential to kind of obviously the Big Ten this year is way better than years past. Okay, in years past, it's kind of been the laughing stock of Power Four conferences in the NDL. I think this year you have
Is this the first season since we restarted that Ohio State is
relevant?
Frankly relevant?
Yeah, definitely this late in the season with games played. Yeah, 100%. And obviously a true contender for the national championship. You could probably pick at least two teams out of the Big Ten that could fight for that national championship with Oregon and Ohio State. And then don't sleep on Maryland, right? Mort the Cow up there at 5-1 right now with Maryland. And so this USC, obviously, Nebraska matchup is big because if USC takes that first conference loss, it may knock them out of the chance for that championship. Obviously, at number 16, this would be his way to stay in the college football playoff talk right now, sitting at 4-1.
Yeah.
And then Nebraska, obviously, just trying to keep his team, right? 3-4. This is a big game for him, trying to keep Nebraska. He's a big Nebraska fan. And so I think the game will be close. I'm excited for it. And then I also have the Oklahoma-Tennessee game. It was a borderline game day pick'em game for us. We've just had Tennessee on here already in Oklahoma. But obviously the loser's out. I think the loser's out of the college football playoff just because there's so many games left to play in that SEC. And some of those matchups that Tennessee's had, obviously everyone saw that last game that he played in Oklahoma's last game, got his butt whooped in the Red River. And so it'll be interesting to see if he can find any offense. His team is loaded with offensive talent. Just for whatever reason, he can't get anything going. So,
in all fairness, I mean, Jiggy's done that to everybody, right? I mean, that's to be fair.
Yeah, I watched that game, and I got to say, there were moments early where it definitely looked like, you know, it was going to be a competitive game. But Texas just, and Jiggy just had an answer for everything early on, and you can see it just put Oklahoma in an entire funk. I mean, that's like, after those first three touchdown drives, that game was just on autopilot. It's like, it literally looked like the Oklahoma players were like, well, that's it.
Get on the bus. We're done.
Pretty much.
It's a way.
But I do got to say, did we mention the Oklahoma-Tennessee game?
Yeah.
That one there, I got to think, does the winner of that still alive in the playoff conversation, do we really think?
I think if it's, I think so. I think a three-loss SEC team has a shot at making it in.
Even though both of those teams got smacked for one of those losses by another SEC team. Is that a factor?
I think so. So if you look at Tennessee's body of work, he actually has some very quality wins. He probably has more. He has more quality wins than probably anyone in the top five. He has more quality wins. And it's just because he challenged himself with his non-conference schedule. And so I think that when if he wins out, he's only going to have two losses. So who cares if he loses by 35 to the number one team in the nation? I think that with only two losses, you'd have to put Tennessee in. Okay. When he gets the three losses, you're really going to have to look at it. His biggest strength is his out-of-conference schedule, right? Like, he went and played Virginia Tech, who's having a good season in the ACC and potentially could finish in the top three in that conference. And then he obviously has that big game against Notre Dame that he played. He did lose, okay, but he went to Notre Dame, right? And me and Penguin, we both agree that we hate the word quality losses, right? Because how can you have a quality loss? But if you're looking at two teams with three losses and Tennessee lost to a team like Notre Dame, who's a top 10 team right now, and went on the road, that's going to be a much better looking loss than someone that lost to a non-ranked team or someone that lost to a team at home. And so I think with three losses, Tennessee still has a shot. Oklahoma has a lot of games left to play. So I think if you lose here, you're really, and his non-conference schedule wasn't as good. And so you're really putting yourself up against the back here, like you're back up against the wall here.
Really, if you're Tennessee, looking at the rest of the schedule, Kentucky, Cal, Florida, Vandy, the Florida game could be interesting because it's on the road. They beat Oklahoma. They probably run the tape, right? I mean, they're at least the favorite going through there. 3-point loss at Notre Dame, who, by the way, I think Notre Dame has the most quality wins if you look at the schedule, or at least, you know, top 25 wins at this point. You know, and they destroyed an Arkansas team that we were, I say destroyed, 18 points, an Arkansas team that everybody was really high on a couple weeks ago before that happened, too. So, you know, you look at the record and you think, okay, 5-2 or whatever it is, but I think if he beats Oklahoma, he's got a great shot of running the table on this thing.
Yeah, he'll
and then
play.
I think he's in, for sure.
Yeah, and he has a shot at playing in the conference championship.
And the best thing for him, we've seen this in real life, the best thing for him may be to not be in that conference championship game. Because if he goes 10-2, he doesn't get in. He doesn't lose a game there, and I think he can.
Yeah, and I promise a guy like Vegas is someone definitely who, lobbying not to play in it. He's going to be lobbying not to play in it.
I can speak to the value of not playing in a conference championship game, as I played in one and lost and didn't make the playoffs, and two other teams in my same conference, you know, not saying I was more deserving than them by any means. I'm saying it worked out the way it did, but to have three teams from a conference get in and only one of them be the team that played in the conference championship game, these things do happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, because you look at this Oklahoma schedule, obviously sitting right now at 2-1 with that big loss to Texas. We talked about that, but he still plays Tennessee, right? The game that we've been talking about. But let's say he loses that game and he's sitting with two losses. He's going to have to beat Alabama or LSU. I think if he wins one of those, he's going to give himself a really good argument if he finishes only with three losses, right? Beating one of the top five teams. But obviously, Alabama game's on the road, the LSU game's at home, which is going to be the only benefit. But, man, unless he starts playing more games, practicing with them, I just don't see enough offense to beat Alabama or beat LSU. And so I think you're looking at a 4 or 5-loss Oklahoma team this year again. With a loss to Tennessee, right? If he beats Tennessee, that can change the whole thing because then he can lose one more game and probably still make the college football playoff. So that I think that's why the game is such a big swing on where I think the loser's really going to be out. Tennessee sitting with three losses. Even if he runs the table, you know, he didn't beat anybody tough in the SEC on a schedule, right? Lost to Oklahoma, lost to Alabama. No big wins in the SEC. Yeah, it'd be really interesting.
If you're OU, right? If OU finishes 9-3 and their losses are to Texas, LSU, Alabama, I mean, that's probably the best 9-3 you could be, right? I mean, that's I don't know what the quality win for him would be. Tennessee at that point, but I don't know how you really punish him for those three losses other than the fact, okay, you had your chances and you blew it, like you said earlier.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, because that's always the thing is if you're three losses or two losses to teams that make the college football playoff, I mean, it doesn't get much worse. But at the same point, if I'm comparing a 2-9-3 teams and you had a chance to play three playoff teams and you lost all three of them and the other guy didn't play any of them, I might give the other guy the nod, right? Because what's the worst case scenario is that he loses. Well, you've already done that three times. So.
Yeah. One last thing about the SEC. Speaking of teams with one losses, I glanced at Arkansas thinking for a second because we were mentioning them in Tennessee. All that like, oh, well, if Arkansas puts himself in that spot, are they part of the conversation? But then I looked at what they've got coming up at the end of the season. Between weeks 11, 12, and 13, they're on the road all 3 weeks. Duke, LSU, and Texas.
Oops.
I don't think, no disrespect.
All on the road, too. Like, how does that work?
All on the road.
Three straight road games against top 10 teams.
That's savage.
Can you imagine that in real college football? On the road for...
If he wins two out of those three, the dude deserves some sort of trophy.
Right?
Even if that's all he does this season. Yeah, that is such a brutal stretch.
Man, wow. So when you bring up a good point, though, Penguin. Let's say he beats Duke, okay? He beats Duke, number 9. and then loses to LSU, loses to Texas, beats Missouri. So he's sitting with two losses with a top 10 win on the road non-conference. I mean, he's not going to.
He can be a 9-3 team, very.
Yep. And he's avoided his championship game. Doesn't have to play in championship game. Can't lose.
Yeah. But he would be 9-3 because he lost to Tennessee already, too. So you have to.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that kind of go together there. And
there's definitely precedent for the committee having love for a 9-3 SEC team. That is for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, so the other conference you'd compare him to is going to be the Big Ten and the ACC, right?
That would be damning for the ACC.
And he beats one of the ACC's best teams. Obviously, that could all change. He could lose to Duke and beat LSU or lose all three. Obviously, lots of football left. Some big matchups coming up down the stretch here. So Razorback says in the chat that, have you actually seen their real schedule? That's a cakewalk. So, yeah, really big. We'll talk about the NDL, kind of the top 25, obviously released every Saturday morning. You can see here up on the screen, we've been talking about Texas and Alabama already. Texas, Alabama, and then you got Ohio State. You see the two different, I got to move these over because you can't see the, you aren't going to be able to see the media one very well. So I'll move that over a little bit here. But what do you guys think about the top 25? I know we'll talk about our top 25. These are always so subjective. I think the top 10 is always pretty similar, but you do see a pretty big difference in, do you think they got it right? Do you think they didn't get it right?
I'll let you go first, Penguin.
I think it's always funny when you've got teams that have the same record and one of them's got a head-to-head win over the other one, but their order is reversed. And you see this with Duke and NC State. I mean, because it's not like NC State's loss was a bad loss, right? And they beat Duke. So, I don't know. It's not a big deal at this moment, but I think that kind of makes me, you know, tilt my head a little bit to the side to wonder, how do you justify that? And I mean, other than that, the other thing that obviously is LSU continuing to slide a little further down in some polls, which, I mean, if he was sitting there with two games played, I'd understand that. But I mean, he's got four at this point, so I'd find that a little weird. Maybe that's people just being impressed by how Texas and Alabama and Ohio State even have looked, which I can't fault, but I don't know. The champs undefeated, I'm going to have a hard time not ranking, you know, the defending champ who's, you know, yet to lose lower than one personally.
Well, you know, the thing for me with LSU is specifically Texas and Alabama both won twice as many games. They've won as many conference games as he's won total games, right? So for me, I have LSU third because I just think Texas and Alabama have earned that right based on what they are. It's not like there's a huge gap between the two teams. Now, if you listen to Smitty talk, he has no shot against any of them, right? But, I mean, I think
he'll lose by 100 for sure.
Yeah, right. So Texas Alabama, to me, have earned that. My big problem with the poll, honestly, is at the back end, right? Like, somebody mentioned this in the chat this morning. I saw that Akron loses, and they actually moved up a spot from 25 to 24 in the coaches poll. And I don't know if it's – I've tried to think this through, like, do you think, guys, that people don't want to put two or three loss power four conference teams in because they're like, well, they've lost two or three games, let's give the little guy a shot? Like, and listen, I'm in the MAC. I understand that, but Akron is not even – I don't even think they're the best MAC team. I'm not sure that they should be in over in Eastern Michigan or even Chip again if you're going to start putting teams in there or whoever it may be. I don't know. It's just – I know people look at different things, and I know we're going to talk about our top 10s in a minute. Our top 10s are completely different also, so I know people see it in a different way. But the back end, to me, is a little crazy, and I agree. CG just posted this in the chat that Chip's going to run the table, get the MAC title game. I agree. I think Chip's going to find his way in and potentially win the conference again. So I don't know. The back end's the hard part for me.
Yeah, I think
some maybe of it you is. had a correction by people who left Akron out the week before and were trying to make up for that, maybe. Is what happened.
I think some of it though is that when you get down to your rankings each week, and I bet this happens in real life, right? We see it in awards voting in real life. We see it in people that, you know, you'll have players make the Hall of Fame and one or two guys will leave them off. Is that some people don't do any research, right? Some people are doing their top 25 and they're looking at their last top 25 and they see a 7-1 team that they had at 25. They aren't even clicking the button to see their last games played, right? They're just voting them in because a 7-1 team looks, it looks right, right? And so I think that that's part of it, right? Is that some of the research may not go into it. And that's very evident with the Duke NC State. How is NC State not ahead of Duke? They beat them. They beat them head to head in week four. And so there's no, and it's not like one team has way more wins than the other, right? And so I like, to me, that's a perfect example of that, right? Is that some people in the league that vote have no idea that Duke and NC State even played each other. They don't even know that that game has already taken place and one of the teams won. And so I do think that the voting is better now than it was in season 29 and season 30. Penguin, you'd probably agree, right? On our show in the mornings, we were dumbfounded with some of the teams that were...
I want to point out one other thing I just noticed too, looking at this, and embarrassingly, this is the media poll. How in the hell am I ranked at 9 and Duke at 10? Speaking of teams that played each other,
correct?
Yeah, and that I was mean, at home,
that
right?
Game, like that you game wasn't even close. We looked like a limp fish that had been dead for 6 weeks in that game. It was a terrible performance versus a good team. That was about as decisive as a win gets. That shouldn't even be a question.
But again, that's probably one of those things where people forgot, right? And don't go do research. And I'm not faulting them, right?
This is the media poll, though. The general coaches poll got that one right.
Yeah. At least the we got the Duke NC State one right in the media poll.
No.
Oh, no, we didn't.
Because
you're right. And then another one that was interesting is Tennessee, Clemson, some of those teams. Just really interesting when you're comparing those 1 and 2 losses and who he lost to, and then the teams ranked behind him in front of him. We'll jump into our power rankings. I went ahead and asked the guys to show their top 25 or top 10. And so you can see, Hubbard, I'll let you kind of go first and just kind of break down your top 10 or your top 10 here.
You know, I said a minute ago, Texas and Alabama. I even have Oregon ahead of LSU right now, just based on games played. And I think that Oregon, what's the knock on Oregon last year? Is I was joining late, and you guys were getting the playoff. He didn't play anybody. Well, he's played people this year a little. Okay, he's played more people than he did last year, and has been successful. I think those are the best four teams. It doesn't matter. I have Utah 5, Ohio State 6. I think a lot of people may have that backwards. Think Ohio State's better. I do have Duke higher than NC State, and here's why. I think that the Duke win over you, Penguin, and not just a win, the 35-point win says a lot, right? Like, they both have a 3-point loss. Yes, NC State beat them head-to-head, but then look at who Duke beat by 35, and that being Penguin, as opposed to, you know, NC State doesn't have that win. I think NC State's a really good football team as well. And then I have Notre Dame and Clemson. Notre Dame, who I think has more quality wins than maybe anybody in the top 10 if you start looking at it, and then Clemson at the end. It's going to play itself out. I think Clemson-Duke here is going to be an interesting one. We'll see if Duke should be up there or not. But it's you're right. The Duke-NC State, Notre Dame, think about early in the season, the Nebraska-Miami-Notre Dame triangle, the way that happened, how that should have played out. I think it's just a preference now. Like, do you value winning more games than the other team? Do you value a big win over other teams? Or is it just strictly head-to-head? I don't think it can be strictly head-to-head if it's close.
Fair enough.
Penguin, I did notice that you left, and then you can talk about your top 10. I can't, obviously it left off the bottom 10 in the image, so I don't know who you guys picked, but it was Utah your 10, or did you leave him out of your 10?
Oh, Utah at 5.
I'm blind. It says Alabama on the image. So this is ChatGPT, just so everybody knows. On my screen, cool. It shows a Utah image and an Alabama Alabama name.
I actually had Tennessee, by the way, at 10. Tennessee was my number 10.
So it's just the numbers and stuff are wrong. So there you go. But it looks, now that you say that, so it says number 4, Alabama, but it shows a Utah symbol. Go ahead, Pango. Talk about your top 10.
I'm spiteful and petty, but I also try to be reasonable and honest as well. It's a delicate balance. So for my top 10, I got to start with LSU. And I mean, I'll defend that till they lose a game this season. I think, you know, I think that they'll get the chance to prove it later. I feel good about that. Texas, obviously, can't call anyone a fool for putting them up top. So I got them at 2. Ohio State, Bama, Utah, who I'd argue Utah was more talented in the previous version, but Marion has been very, very decisive and consistent with them. I think maybe he's locked in harder with this roster. It fits him a little better, but that team is going to be a tough out even for the best squads. Oregon, Shell, I think he's higher on most polls than mine. And that's not really me punishing him. It's just more of a case. Other teams have been more impressive to me. And I'm still trying to figure out how that game with Oregon State was, he gave up as many points as he did. And then after that, we get to the teams that have lost a game. Notre Dame is an easy choice for me there because that loss versus Miami was at the start of the season. And I think since then, they've done nothing but look like a top 10 team there. And giving NC State their first loss of the season made that easy. Clemson has looked great other than getting worked by Texas. But as we've said before, who doesn't get worked by Texas? And from there, there's a lot of teams I could, you know, make a case for. But I think NC State and Duke are still the logical 9 and 10 teams at this time.
And the top 10 is, I think you could, the top 15 would probably be pretty solidified between most people. You'd shuffle a few teams around. Obviously, we talked about the back end makes it really difficult. My number one, obviously, is Texas, just based upon it's tough for me to move LSU down. Obviously, the beefy cup champ and the NDL champ last year has a better team this year with the same team, if that makes sense. But it was a games played thing, right? And now he's working his way back into it. But as long as Texas wins out, he won't take over that spot. Obviously, Texas just kind of whooping up on everybody. Alabama, Coach Smitty's kind of got things going there. I have LSU at number 3, defending champ, starting to play his games, looking good. Probably my pick to be in the college football championship is going to be Ohio State and DeCandidy over there. Tons of talent on both sides of the ball over there. I think he's going to end up winning that conference, and he's going to be, you know, probably the 2 seed, I would assume, being, you know, in the football playoff. Shell there at Oregon, hard to count him out, right? We bashed on him all last season, worst schedule in the league, this, that, and this. And what's he do? He goes out and just kind of takes care of business. And he's doing the same thing this year. I have Utah at number 6, much like you, Penguin. He's just kind of taking care of business. His only ranked opponent right now on his schedule is going to be Baylor at the end of the year. But he's just taking care of his business in a conference that's pretty good. And then I have NC State at 8. Tennessee at 9. What? Don't forget Notre Dame. I do have Notre Dame at 7. Plays a great non-conference schedule this year. We've made fun of Rain in the past about his schedules being pretty easy this year. He's obviously taking care of business as well. Has that one loss. But I have Tennessee at 9, Clemson at 10, and then outside in is Duke, obviously right behind him, which that'll take care of itself with the, you know, that Clemson-Duke game. It was kind of exciting. Look at the top 10. That was my poll. Next time we do this, I'll make sure the image is correct. I didn't even check. I just saved it and put it right into the feed, and obviously none of it's right. But that kind of gives you an idea on our top 25. We're pretty close with our 4 seeds right now. If we were to pick the top 4 teams and they're going to play each other, it looks like we're pretty close for the top 4.
Another boost to Utah. Granted, Texas Tech was definitely disappointing for a moment there. They've quietly, Wiles has worked his way back to 5-2, and it's looking like he's kind of maybe figured it out. So if Texas Tech makes a run there, all of a sudden, I think that gives Utah a lot more credit for beating them so soundly.
Yep.
Yeah, so I guess yeah, I mean, show's kind of moving along here. Oregon game's not close in real life. It's a game that's up on my TV right now, and all the other games are on commercial right now. I guess we can just jump right into our pick 'em games. We picked 6 games this week, starting with Boise State, Nevada.
that me? Is that me? Yeah, I gotta switch screens here. Too much going on the laptop. Alrighty. Well, Boise State, Nevada. This is really quite the group of five matchup here. They're both sitting there with one loss. Boise may not have Gene T anymore, but since that close call where they lost by three to Air Force, they've looked very good or back in the polls in most rankings. And Nevada, they've got that loss that makes me scratch my head to, I believe, Jacksonville State. But other than that, Pirates looked pretty strong there. I think the winner of this game I got to look at and think is probably my favorite to maybe get a playoff spot if somehow we end up with no undefeated group of five teams. Having said that, Boise is a little stronger. Nevada's at home. And I just feel like it's going to come down to a user play late in the game. And for that reason, I got to slide with Pirate in Nevada. See the Wolfpack taking this one with a late stand to put it away.
Yeah, this is a big one, right? I played Nevada back in the first week and had the lead. He came back and beat me at the end, and I really had no answer for what he was doing. This game is interesting, right? You mentioned Nevada at home. The inexplicable loss, I would say. The one thing that concerns me is this. They're 105th in total offense, 119th in total defense in the NDL. And so he's not getting the yardage, and he's also not preventing the yardage, which is a problem. Boise, on the other hand, is 18th in the NDL in total offense. They're 90th in defense, but it's weird because they're giving up a lot of yards, but they're only 44th in points allowed. So this is a defense that is bend, don't break. But here's the main thing for me. Boise State needs this win. They have a 9.5 win goal. They got to get the 10. If he wins this game, he's going to get his conference goals. He'll get his win goal more than likely if he gets there. I'm going to go with Boise. I'm seeing the you know, maybe we just lost it. He lost to UNLV. However, he can still get everything that's out there for him if he gets this win. I'm going to pick Boise.
Yeah, I think Boise did lose to UNLV, and I'm not sure when that score posted, but it had to have posted sometime later this week. Pirate's going to have to. I think he's going to gain a little bit of that small home field advantage if there is such a thing outside of Boise in that Mountain West. But I think he's going to gain a little bit, and it's probably be like he doesn't have to deal with it, more or less. It's a very evenly matched up game between the two teams. I think this will be a really big breakout game for Chubby Purdy. That's got to be one of the funniest names in college football. That's a quarterback for Nevada there, Chubby Purdy. And I think it's going to be a breakout game. Right now he has more interceptions than touchdowns, but I think he's going to kill. They're going to be able to run the ball, use some play action, get the ball to the playmakers. And I think that that's going to be the difference. And I think you're going to see kind of the slide of Boise State in the Mountain West this season.
All right, moving right along. Our next game. Oh, go ahead. You got something else, Penguin?
You know who it's actually Chuba Purdy. You know who his brother is, right?
Brock Purdy.
Yeah, Brock. Yep.
He's not Brock Purdy.
He has the jeans.
Yeah, he does. He has the jeans.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
I hope Brock sucks tomorrow.
I have the next one here.
I hope Brock sucks tomorrow.
Well, he's a 49er. I hope he always sucks. Spoken like a true Cowboy fan. Anyway, the next one has a Big Ten matchup that when you look at the records, you think, okay, this one is, what are we talking about this one for? Michigan, 1-4 on the year. Michigan State, 4-2. And when you look at the Michigan State schedule, right, loses the chip in the first week, we're thinking, what's CG going to do? He loses on the road to USC. He beat Nebraska. We were just talking about MGR, Nebraska. He beat him. He beat Bowling Green, beat West Virginia, beat Indiana, beat Minnesota. Michigan, on the other hand, well, it hasn't gone well. Lost to Georgia in week one, and then Andy had trouble winning games here along the road. He's beaten one team. He's only beaten Wisconsin, lost to USC, lost to Nebraska, lost to Auburn, lost to Georgia, as I mentioned. And now he's got to go on the road again to take on the Spartans in Michigan State. I'm going to roll my man CG. I think that Michigan State here is just too much for Freak.
Yeah, I think it's just too much offense for Michigan here. Michigan State's going to be just too much offense. They're really struggling to do much on both sides of the ball right now. One of the worst defenses in the NDL, which is just crazy to think. for a program that's really just put, you know, their name on defense in real life. He's averaging 22 points a game on the offensive side of the ball, which is just obviously it's abysmal up there in Michigan. Fans are running him out. It's going to be a really, really, really rough day for the Wolverine faithful up there when Michigan State runs away at the victory.
I've got to agree. I think it's not just that the season's been bad. I think that it's going to continue to roll downhill because losing this, I don't know the math for a fact how that how the administration's coaching contract is drawn up there for Coach Freak, but I feel like losing to little brother here for your fifth loss of the season is probably going to be the nail in the coffin that we're going to see a new administration leading the Wolverines next year. So for that pressure alone, I think is going to help slide this. And it's not just going to be Sparty by a little, it's going to be Sparty by a lot.
Yeah, I think it does, by the way, put the nail in the coffin mathematically. Penguin, I mean, I think the season win goal is already done. The conference goal is to be shot if he loses this one too. So I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion, but I think it's definitely the case if he loses this one.
And his rivalry too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yep. He's probably got two of them up there at least with Ohio State and then Michigan State probably. You lose this one. Like, can't imagine the odds aren't against you when you're playing Ohio State. So,
yeah, that's that game might make use of a well-known rule that we have regarding scores and how much you can win by in the NBA.
And think about this. That third rivalry game is Northwestern, who just played Nidler and Penn State close this past week, too. So, It could get worse before it gets better in Ann Arbor.
It's like they say, before it gets worse, it gets worse.
Now, the real question is going to be what kind of programs athletic directors are at this game watching, right? You're looking at CG on one side, maybe some programs are looking to upgrade, and then you're going to have some mid-major programs looking at a Coach Freak over there wondering if, you know, he's the right man for their program.
You know, if he's on the good news for him is that there's a decent chance the Delaware State job may be open and he'd be able to have that similar helmet and uniform concept available to him again next year. So he'd have that homey feeling as well. You know,
that's true. The second coming of Joe Flacco, right? Was that Delaware, Delaware State?
It's Delaware.
Yeah.
There was a TikTok this week about that. Some kid thought he had committed to play for Michigan. He was really playing for Delaware. I think that's pretty funny. On Road to Glory. He picked the wrong school. That's awesome.
Yes. Public education. Lovely. Moving right along, we've got a Big 12 matchup of some note that is going to see the winner of this is probably still alive, be it not with a great chance, but still alive in the race for the title game there. And that is going to be the Baylor Bears traveling to play the Cincinnati Bearcats. Now, Baylor had been pretty much murking people earlier this season, and they lost a battle recently to Kansas State. I believe it was 38-41. Not a loss to be ashamed of, but still a tough one to swallow for a team that had such a promising begin to the season. On the other side, Cincinnati's looked pretty strong, other than they had two close losses in weeks 5 and 6 to Kansas and Iowa State by a combined 3 points. So for a team sitting there with two losses, they're not far away from, you know, a couple plays different of having a phenomenal season. And they get this one at home. Still, as I compare these matchups, I think it'll be a battle. If I were picking an over and under on this one, I'd be putting it at 70 at least. But I think Baylor's got a little bit more speed than Cincinnati does, and I think that'll give them the edge in this one. So I see the Baylor Bears winning this one by a single score.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think that the conversations were about Cincinnati's losses, losing to U Penguin by two, losing the week before to Kansas, and kind of two in a row. And how Cincinnati would respond to that. I was high on Pat, right? I was high on Baylor. I had them up there in the top 10. I'm thinking they're a playoff team, all those kind of things. And then they lose to Kansas State, right? It's interesting. You mentioned, you know, some things about it, that the speed, but look at statistically, you know, RB in Cincinnati statistically is in the top third maybe quarter of the league in major, you know, statistics, offense and defensively. However, I'm going to go with Pat. I got to go with the Bears. I got Baylor in this one as well. And I just think it's, you know, Baylor, that was, I think the Kansas State loss is more of a blip on the radar than what we should expect going forward.
Kansas State's not a bad team.
No, not at all.
Nope, and I think you had mentioned it, Penguin, just in some of our production meetings and stuff, is that he's starting to hit his stride too, Kansas State. So might end up not being that bad of a loss when, you know, the end of the season does hit. For this one, this was one of those, some of these matchups that we picked this week are super evenly matched up when you're looking at them on paper, and this is one of them, right? Both their defenses are great. Baylor's averaging about 19 points a game given up, and then Cincy's right behind him at 20. I think the biggest difference in this game, though, is going to be the margin from defense to offense. Baylor's averaging 19 points a game, but scoring 37 a game, to where Cincy's relying more, a lot of Cincy's games have been close, right? And he's just relying on a couple stops late in the game. But I think what's going to happen is Baylor's going to put the pressure on early, because they're going to score on every possession. And then what's going to happen is Baylor's defense is going to make some big plays, interceptions, returns, and it's going to put Cincy back. And then I think the games end up, I think it's going to be a fourth quarter blowout, right? Two scores, three scores, but it's going to, Cincy's going to have a hard time playing catch up. All their games have been close this season. They're going to have a really hard time playing catch up. I have Baylor winning.
All right, moving along. Let's talk a little SEC here, because the next matchup is a couple of SEC teams that the records may be not great. I think that both teams with a win here, and they're both sitting at, what, 4-3, I believe. A win here for either one of these teams at least keeps them in the conversation. A loss definitely gets them out. Look, we know Andy in Georgia, he's already going to be gone from Athens. He's done already. Florida going into this year, we're talking about Florida as a team that we got to watch out for, right, because of the quarterback and the way that he can run. They start out, two big wins, beat Georgia Tech, beat Fresno State, and wobbles. Then they get LSU and they get blasted by 31. Then the next week they lose to Miami. 2 weeks later they lose to Texas, and they win two since then. Georgia, on the other hand, started out with a win at Michigan and then lost three in a row, and now he's won three in a row. The question is, which one of these two teams has kind of figured it out? Because I think maybe that's where we're at. I love Andy. If Andy doesn't exist, if me and Andy don't talk, I'm not in the NDL. I owe Andy that forever. And unfortunately, I got to go with Florida. I think at this point, it's almost a coin flip, in my opinion. I'm going to go Gators at home.
Yeah, I'm with you. Biggest difference maker in the entire game is going to be Legway. That guy's got to lead the entire universe in broken tackles on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Every time I'm watching that game, like I watched that Miami game, I know Florida lost that game, but there was five or six plays that Legway made where you're just blown away. Like with the broken tackle, getting hit, throwing the ball 50 yards down the field. I think he's going to be the biggest difference in this game as well. Think about it. Florida, we talked about the three-loss team making the college football playoff. If Florida wins out, they're going to be in the college football playoff. They'll have three losses with a big win over Georgia. They're going to have their only losses are going to come to ranked opponents, okay? The number one and two team, potentially. And then they'll beat Tennessee, right? They have a big clash with Tennessee coming up, and you'd be at three losses. So must win for Florida. Georgia's trying to play spoiler here. Unless Andy cannot turn the ball over, I just don't see Georgia staying in this game. And so I have Florida winning big.
I will say there's a lot of pressure on Large Mike and the Gators in this one here. I mean, yeah, they're at home. Yeah, they've got Lagway. A win here, like you said, they are on the path to very possibly being a playoff team. If they run the table, it's hard for me to think that they won't be. But if they lose this game, not only are they not a playoff team, you got to wonder if he survives to next season. I think there's a really good chance that there's a new administration in the taint of Florida over there in Gainesville. Now, still play that home field, and as you all mentioned, those broken tackles. I think Andy will put up a valiant effort, but at the end, you know, yeah, it's just going to be too much. Swamp Donkeys win this one at the probably comfortably in the end too. Not a blowout, but I think the game is decided with like 4 minutes to go. So moving right along, we go to a couple of teams that also haven't had a ton of success this season. Speaking of, but over in the Mountain West, is it Mountain West? Yes, it is the Mountain West. We've got New Mexico heading out to play the UNLV Rebels. Now, this one here, I have to admit, as I was doing my research, I don't know if it is my fault, my assistants, or the research department, but I was unaware that UNLV had beaten Boise.
They did.
So
it
you
this
all
morning.
Mentioned it literally.
They did it this morning. Earlier. So for the
this
for the
morning?
Yeah, okay. the game happened this morning. I got clarification from the crowd here.
Okay. Well, then I feel like a little bit less of an idiot then, because my research was all done prior to that. Given that, looking at this, I was thinking New Mexico the entire time, simply because they've played more reps. They've got more reps in. Granted, they haven't been able to get it done, but that experience I thought would give them the edge even on the road. But now that UNLV has shown that, I've got a shout out to remember who Pat, who's not with us here, and pull his signature move here and go with the team that I didn't tell you I was picking. And I think UNLV is going to get this one done.
I messed up.
I think Tim saw that one coming.
Yeah, I saw it coming and I picked UNLV for you.
Why, thank you.
You know, here's the thing about it, and I don't, you know, I don't want to share too much, but after reading what happened to UNLV and personally in the last couple of weeks, hats off to that man, right? To go through that and come back and be ready to go, and then to beat Boise this morning. I feel fortunate, Penguin. I actually picked UNLV, definitely just a better roster, definitely just a better team. And now sitting there at he hasn't played a lot of games, obviously, but now that he's sitting there at 1-2 and undefeated in the conference, this is now the guy, right? Like, if he can win this game and continue to go, he puts himself in that mix to play for that conference championship, either against Nevada or Boise again, who he's already beaten. So I picked the Rebels. I think they win this one.
Yeah, two of my favorite coaches in the NDL, Coach Razorback and Coach Black Rain there. I've had the chance of meeting. We talked about the NDL convention up there in Hubbard's land that we had, and me and Penguin obviously went to that last year, and we had we were fortunate enough to meet Coach Black Rain up there. A lot of fun. And so that wasn't the reason why I picked this game, but it definitely helps influence it when I'm trying to debate between the two coaches who I love. And then obviously a big upset of the number one team, number 21 team, in the NDL. Big win for Coach Rain and the UNLV Rebels. I think he's going to carry that momentum in a game that when we picked this, it was two winless coaches in the NDL, two coaches that are great coaches in the NDL, and neither had a win. And so we thought it'd be fun to try to pick who was going to get their first win. Now we're going to be picking, it clearly shows that we're picking the team that's going to get the second win here in the UNLV Rebels.
One now, game of the week, and it's an ACC matchup, Duke and Clemson. Now, fortunately for Duke, Manny Diaz is not the coach of the Blue Devils in the NDL, because that obviously did not go very well today as they lost to Illinois. Just one blip on the radar, the three-point loss we talked about earlier to NC State. They were at home, three-point loss to NC State. The 35-point shellacking, sorry, Penguin, in that game against Iowa State. Clemson, on the other hand, they have one loss, and it was a 35-point massacre at home to Texas back in week one. The schedule has not been, man, it just not super strong. They beat Boston College by three. They beat SMU. This is another interesting game because I think the roster, I know that, you know, Duke is a better team. I think Duke on the game has probably a little better than I think that they probably should be in real life, but Clemson's really good. They got Cade Klubnik, who's one of the best quarterbacks. They got, you know, skill players. They got all these guys, and I think it's Clemson. I'm going to go with Clemson in the game of the week over Duke. I think they're the best team in the SEC, and I think this kind of separates them from the pack. And that's, you know, that's tough because if the winner of this one is going to be, to me, the driver's seat of the SEC in terms of who you got to think is the favorite. Now they got to go out and do it, but I'll go with the Tigers.
Yeah, for me, I mean, this matchup really is going to come down to the quarterback play. You got seasoned veteran over there with Klubnik. He's thrown 10 interceptions on the season already with only 16 touchdowns. He hasn't proven to me that he can make the big play when they've needed it for Clemson there. On the other side of the ball, though, you have Mensah, 24 touchdowns on the season, only 6 interceptions. I think he's going to be the difference maker here. Mensah is going to make some really big plays in that second half when the game's close, and he's going to carry a little bit of momentum away. I think he's going to play well on the road here. I got Duke winning by 10, and it's going to be in the fourth quarter where they pull ahead, and it's going to be tough for Clemson to come back. Clemson's a big run team, loves to hand the ball off. When he gets down there, I think it's going to fluster him a little bit, and I got the Blue Devils winning in a must-win game, really, in the ACC.
Well, it is definitely one of the premier matchups of not just the ACC, but of this season, because we know what we're getting in the young head coach at Clemson, and then we've seen what, you know, what Jumper at Duke did, making a playoff run last season. So, you know, there's a lot of talent on the field here. Clemson is the stronger team overall, and they are at home. But I think styles and how the coaches play will have a lot to do with this outcome here. And I think a lot of what Tim highlighted is very true. Clemson hasn't been great taking care of the ball, and Duke's just got Manson is just a weapon at quarterback. Plus, you've got a coaching staff there that's going to call the plays, put in position to take full advantage of what he can do. And I think this one could even be a comfortable Duke win in the end. Wow. I definitely not saying they will, but I could definitely see a pass where, you know, Duke has this one put away before the fourth quarter starts. So give me the Blue Devils.
The image up there looks kind of funny because it's a D. I don't know if it's saying dad or, but it looks just funny with the D's in the dog print.
You know, it's funny though, Penguin, you mentioned what Jumper did at FAU last year. And I remember watching him in the playoff and people talking about the fact that when he gets his passing game is pretty elite with FAU. And now he's got Mensah and he's throwing 24 touchdowns. And I didn't, you know, it's an interesting game. It's going to be one of the better ones, as you mentioned, Penguin, on the entire year, not just this week.
Yeah. Not saying his offense is unstoppable, but it is super strong, and you're most likely going to have to beat him in a shootout to beat him. That's just because of how he plays and how he executes. And I think a shootout means Clemson's putting the ball in danger, and I think that's a few turnovers, and I think all of a sudden a 7-point game is a 21-point game with a couple of those plays.
That'll be interesting to see how Jumper kind of bat. Like, Clemson's one of its biggest strengths is going to be its defensive line. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how Jumper is going to kind of try to minimize what they can do and the impact that they can make on the field, whether it's getting the ball out a little bit quicker. I know Jumper likes to push the ball down the field a little bit. And so it'll be really interesting to see if he holds on to the ball, takes those sacks. Obviously, that's what Clemson's going to try to do. It's going to be really interesting if Clemson tries to counter that with maybe bringing some extra pressure, right? Because you're going to have, obviously, Duke is going to assume that Clemson's going to get there with their four, and so they'll keep an extra block. And so it'll just be really interesting to see that chess match between those two coaches, great coaches. I'm pretty excited to watch that game. There's a lot of good NDO games. I'm excited to watch. Make sure everybody's using the schedule guide on the NDL website. If you don't know how to do that, reach out to someone. A lot of people in the league know how to do that. That way we know your game's going on so people can tune in and watch it. You'd be blown away with how many people check that every morning to check what kind of games they have. Lots of people during the day love watching day games and afternoon games in the NDL. There's nothing worse than when you find out a game went game score went end and the game was played and you had no idea it was being played. I love watching NDL games while I work during the day. I have that, obviously, that luck, and I know some of you guys watch them as well. And so make sure you use that feature, the NDL Live Guide. It shows when those games will be played. Super exciting. Other than that, man, I really appreciate everybody spending your Saturday with us. We got it right there. Jumper just said Duke and Clemson is going down in 15 minutes today. Obviously, the game of the week. Yeah, game of the week here on NDL Game Day. Game will be played tonight. You'll be able to stream NDL quality college football, as well as a big game tonight for Hubbard and the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah, I missed the FaceTime just now for my son. He's on the fourth row, he said, in the student section. Him and his buddies were sprinting in to get their good seats. So he's on the fourth row for that one. He's pretty pumped.
And excited stuff here. Next week, tune in for College Game Day. I do believe we're going to probably start doing later afternoon College Game Days now, just because we have kids that are doing things in the morning and stuff. And Chris is, the Penguin is reading books in the morning at the bookstore. So, It just makes it a little bit easier.
You get to sleep in one day of the week now. This is amazing.
I know, right? No, I prefer doing the afternoon game day shows. We obviously get a lot more interaction from our fans and stuff like that, and so we really enjoy it. But everybody take care and have a good weekend. We'll be right back.